Hi, this is Dr. Tom Rogers coming to you with a weekly podcast of the Common Sense MD. Now, I have a special guest here today that is very important that you listen to this because I've had her on before, and it's almost like we should do this yearly, but her name is Renee Thompson. She got my Medicare plan going for almost 5 years ago, which I've been very happy with. And when we met, when I turned 65 and really had to negotiate the waters of, or navigate the waters of Medicare, I found that was very complex. And, you know, I was all set to just go ahead and sign up with the first person that came along and tried to sell me an Advantage plan until one of my friends, who I think you know, said, ask about Plan G. So when I asked that person who was trying to sell me an Advantage plan about Plan G, they started mumbling around and yeah, that would be a good plan. So they didn't even tell me about it. So I immediately started looking at this thing, and because I do a lot with the economics of medicine, that's a lot of what I do, is trying to figure out, you know, why people have to pay so much, where the money goes. You know, there's so many complexities and so many third party people trying to get in there and get those healthcare dollars. It's unbelievable. For example, the pharmacy benefit manager, which I rail on all the time, taking all the profit from these expensive drugs like Ozempic. But any event, Renee, we're going to, you know, I really should have had you on probably in the fall. But really, I wanted to get you on now because there is a little opportunity that you can still switch plans. And I heard that the other day. I thought open enrollment was gone, but there is a window that, say you are not satisfied with your plan, you can change it up until, I think, March 31st. So, Renee, thank you for coming here. We're going to get to some basics, and then we're going to get to some stuff that is more interesting than the basics, because I'm an avid reader of the Wall Street Journal. I just showed you an article mm-hmm. that I saw last week in there. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are really kind of coming down on these Advantage plans, or kind of exposing them for what they are. And some of them are good. They may be good for the particular person, and some of them may not deliver. But in any event, you're an independent broker, which is what I like about you. So you're able to sell Advantage plans for Humana, Blue Cross, whatever, but you also can advise a person on, do you need Plan G? Do you need basic Medicare? And there's a lot of differences in the cost and the hassles. So we're going to get to the bones of that today. We're going to nitpick it apart just a little bit. So first of all, explain to me what Part A and Part B is. We'll get to the basics.
Okay, so basics A and B. A is MB is what you get typically when you are turning 65. There are some caveats to that, if you're going to keep working or not, or things like that. A is going to be hospital coverage. B is medical coverage. And then Part D, obviously, is your drug coverage.
Mm-hmm. What about Part C? They left out C.
So Part C is basically what they call an Advantage plan.
Okay.
Part C is they basically all-inclusive. They roll your hospital, your medical, your drug, and they roll it into like an all-inclusive umbrella, and then they give perks to like gym membership, some of them, not all of them, and then you have like vision, dental, hearing. Most of them have that. Okay. Included into that particular plan.
So an important point for people that are about to get on Medicare, like a lot of my patients, like I said, I've been on it for a few years, but and I'll talk about that experience, which has been fine, but a lot of drugs aren't covered by it. Mm-hmm. I'm not on any drugs, but for people that are on Medicare, the drug reps will come in and say, yeah, it's covered on this and this, but not Medicare. Medicare does not have the greatest drug coverage for these newer medicines. But explain, if you're about to turn 65, what is absolutely critical that you do, like 3 months before you turn 65?
So if typically if you're either going to retire or you're not still employed and you're already retired, you're going to want to sign up for your A and B. So there's no penalties later for not doing it. Also drug coverage, because there's penalties if you don't sign up within a certain window. And then after you've signed up for your A and B, you want to sit down with someone who can help you navigate your own personal health issues and things like that, that can help you navigate whether you want to go supplemental road or you want to go advantage plan road.
Do you hear dogs? I think I hear dogs.
I hear dogs.
That may be mentally,
maybe some cute dogs
going on with you or something. But sorry about
that.
But in any event, so let me ask you another question that comes up with some of my patients, because they're obviously as old as I am, almost 70 years old. And I say, is Medicare may not cover this? And they say, well, I'm not on Medicare. I'm still working. I'm still on my company plan. Mm-hmm. Do those people get dinged if they don't sign up at 65 or
no,
not?
No, they do not. So that was one of the caveats to, if you're still actively employed, working full time with what Medicare considers credible coverage with drug coverage, your plan has to have drug coverage, then there's no penalties later for not taking your Part B.
That is really interesting. Part A either?
No, well, Part A is if you've paid into it for 40 quarters, you're going to get it.
Yeah, okay.
So that's just an automatic thing, and you don't pay for Part A.
Okay.
The Part B is typically what costs people money.
Yep. Hospitalization usually covered. Mm-hmm. All right, let's dig into this. I have Plan G. Now, mm-hmm. I chose to do Plan G mainly because sometimes I travel, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that if I end up in an ER in California, that I don't have a Tennessee something or no Blue Cross, Humana, whatever, that's not covered mm-hmm. at that place. Now, is that right? Am I?
So typically a lot of the differences between an Advantage plan that like is an HMO plan, those are more network-based, so it's more for local area. The supplemental side is no net, like you don't have networks that you have to worry with.
Okay. And when she says supplemental, she means Plan G.
Right.
Like
well,
I took.
And so supplemental, or what some people think of as Medigap, there are other plans other than G.
Okay.
There are several other plans that are out there on the supplemental side other than Plan G.
Okay.
G is the one that covers the most.
Okay.
But there are other plans other than G.
You know, it seems like it keeps getting worse, because I tried to get Plan F. I was 1 year away from mm-hmm. Plan F, which was even better than G. There'll probably be an H that's even worse than G at some point. But so right now, would you say that for a healthy person, that Plan G, that could afford it, because Plan G is going to be a little bit more expensive up front, because what's Medicare basically? What do you pay a month for basic Plan B?
So basic, for people who don't fall either under the like threshold of getting extra help, poverty level,
okay.
or people who don't fall into the having a higher income and having to pay an IRMA, like they call it an income-related monthly adjustment amount.
Which, that's what I'm doing.
So if there's a threshold there that, as a general rule, most people are paying. For 2024, it's $174.70 for Part B.
Okay, for Part B. All right, so the supplemental on top of that, right?
Yes, and those can range anywhere. And there's a gamut of different supplement companies out there. And typically, we'll just use a male turning 65. Those range, anywhere from $90 a month to $140 a month. And it just depends.
Okay, interesting. I have found that, you know, they try to, I guess they want you to retire and not work, because I work, I pay way more than I would if I didn't work. I mean, significantly more.
Yeah.
And so does my wife, because we file jointly and mm-hmm. she's tied into me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're paying almost $1,500 a month for Medicare.
Mm-hmm. And if you go out and Google it's called an IRMA, IRMAA. If you just Google what that is for 2024, it will give you a chart that tells you if you're in this income level bracket, this is how much you're going to pay for Medicare. If you're in the next one, it will tell you how much that you will pay for Part B.
Okay, so it's kind of sketchy a little bit, just like taxes are. I mean, it's a progressive tax.
Yeah, it is.
That's just the way, the more you make, the more you pay, which I'm not complaining, but it's just a fact of life, and you kind of need to know, because you're going to have to plan for eventual retirement. Hopefully, I don't want to retire ever, but at some point, you know, I'm really going to slow down a lot because, you know, it's just a fact of life, I guess. But
and let me go ahead and put this out there: if you're going to pay the IRMA for your Part B, you will also pay an IRMA for your Part D. So your drug coverage will also have It will cost you more if you fall above the normal level for Part B.
That's right. That's very interesting. So let's talk about, so my plan is a supplemental Plan G.
Mm-hmm.
Advantage of that really for me is that I just pay it monthly and I don't have to fool with the co-pays and things like that. Mm-hmm. So after that, it's pretty much covered if something happens. And also, because I'm on Plan G, it's universally accepted. I could, like, for example, if you came down with some weird kind of medical condition or cancer and you needed to go to Vanderbilt or Duke or one of these Mayo or somewhere, and they didn't take that particular plan, then you're kind of screwed. But Plan G, they have to take you, right?
As long as they take original Medicare, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because supplemental plans are not network-based.
Right.
A lot of your Advantage plans, not all of them, are network-based, your pocket.
That's interesting. So there's an HMO plan in these Advantage plans and a PPO plan?
Mm-hmm, that's correct. So an HMO is what they call like a health maintenance organization plan, and that means you are going to stay in the network of doctors that accept this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or you typically pay the cost out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
On the PPO side of things, it's called a preferred partner organization plan.
Okay.
And basically, it has out-of-network coverage.
Okay.
And those plans, depending, some of them actually have, like if you had a hospital stay, you're going to pay a copay per day instead of a percentage. But they, at least all of them, typically PPO plans, have an out-of-network coverage to them.
When you sell somebody on an Advantage plan, again, mm-hmm. the reason I like you is because you can do the best thing for their mm-hmm. situation, because it is complex.
Mm-hmm.
Medical history, everything, income level, medical history, everything matters with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country is medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
But so say you sell an Advantage plan. Do you sell more HMO plans or PPO plans?
I think it depends. So if I were to go back and look, I sell quite a few PPO plans, mainly because they want the freedom to still be able to, if they had to go to the Mayo Clinic, they at least have some coverage.
Okay.
Versus the HMO plans where they don't have the out-of-network to them.
Okay.
But I also have people who don't travel, who don't go places, who mm-hmm. stay locally.
And on a limited income, maybe, because PPO's got to cost more than HMOs, right?
Not always. I mean, you have zero premium PPO plans, just like you have zero premium HMO plans. The guts of those plans are a little different. So sometimes your out-of-pocket maximums are a little different on a PPO than they are on an HMO. But so you can still get a zero premium PPO plan just like you can an HMO plan.
So let's talk about these zero premium plans.
Okay.
That's only Advantage plans. Because it sounds really good. I mean, you're getting an Advantage plan. They'll throw in dental. They'll throw in eye. They'll throw in a gym membership and maybe some other perks like Band-Aids at the local Walgreens or somewhere. So talk about that a little bit. Talk about these perks, because the articles I read sometimes say, hey, you're not really going to get all those perks that they're advertising.
Okay, so let's go to that. Because if you're looking at commercials on TV, that is an enticement for you to pick up the phone and call them and let them move you to whatever plan they want to put you on. Because a lot of the commercials on TV that talk about like getting all these extra benefits on top of what they already have, that's just an enticement. Because when they're talking about getting a food card and lots of those extra things, that is typically for people who are poverty level or who fall under low income or Medicaid. And so, but I still have even a lot of my clients will call and say, hey, I saw this on TV. The TV stuff, a lot of it is just an enticement for you to call them.
Interesting.
And then I've even had clients that will call me and say, I've got this stuff in the mail and now I've been moved to a plan and I didn't even know I signed up for it. So you have to be very careful about calling the 800 numbers on the TV, or even a lot of times now phone calls. There's a lot of people who get phone calls that are, I wouldn't say they're scams, but it's a lot of these independent insurance companies who are calling people trying to move them to a new plan. And it's...
I do call that a scam, personally, but you can't call it a scam. I can. It's a scam. But so that's really interesting and very... Because I still get letters in the mail every week, you know, change plans from whatever mm-hmm. I'm on, you know, advertising it, and I just throw them immediately away. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I can't figure out if that's my Medicare bill or if that's something I need to look at. So it can be very confusing.
Yeah.
And when a lot of folks turn 65, they're not thinking quite as clearly as they used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things I do with my practice is try to make it so where you do think even more clearly as you age, because there's a lot, you know, a lot of mental decline as we mm-hmm. see, but and a lot of it has to do with your physical fitness, et cetera, what you eat. I'm not going to start preaching about health here, but it's very related to that. So personally, I think a lot of people take advantage of older mm-hmm. people because they're very vulnerable and they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
So in these plans, it seems like to me, as we talked about before, that money is kind of tight right now with the price of groceries mm-hmm. and gas and everything mm-hmm. high. So they may be more likely to take a zero copay advantage plan, and they may or may not be better off, because what if something happens to where they're in the hospital and they may have to pay a portion of that? What's the top limit that most of these plans pay? Or you're gonna have to pay. Say you get hospitalized, you're out of pocket total.
So the out of pocket maximums range from about $900 to about $6,000, and it just depends on the coverage of the plan, whether it's a PPO or HMO, whether you're paying a premium for your plan or not, because that's one of the things with a zero premium. As you pay a higher premium, a lot of times your out-of-pocket maximum does tend to go down.
Yeah, yeah. It makes total sense.
Because you're paying a premium for it. Yes.
You kind of get what you pay for. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes, yes.
So, but for folks that are really kind of, things are a little bit tight, they're going to take the zero premium. They're going to take the bottom. But they could be hit with a $6,000 bill, which could really hurt.
Yes, it could. But, I mean, and again, but you also have people who live on such a tight fixed income, who are not poverty level, that just can't afford $130 a month.
Yeah.
So they take the zero premium plans, and if something happens, then they make payments to the hospital or they pay their mm-hmm. copay or whatever. But I also have people who are healthy, who don't take medications, and they say, I'm not sick, I don't have health problems, I'm not spending $130 a month for something I'm not going to use. This is why it's important to sit down with someone who can kind of help you navigate through what your thoughts are about what you want to take, and help you understand the ins and outs of the plan.
So this would be a crazy scenario, but if you just refused, you're healthy and you're already covered by Plan A because you've paid into that your whole life. Mm-hmm. And so you could turn 65 and say, hey, I just don't want to do anything. You could do that, but if you get in the hospital, you're going to be hurting.
And then if you ever do decide you want to take your Part B later, then you're going to get penalized for not taking it when you were 65.
Penalized 10%?
I think it's 10% per year that you don't have it. And it's not a one-time penalty. You'll pay that penalty the rest of your life. Same for Part D. If you don't take a drug plan, and then that one you get penalized 1% for every month you don't have a drug plan after your initial 3 months before and 3 months after.
That is crazy. You better sign up.
You don't want to get penalized. And then even a lot of people do that because the Advantage plans have the drug coverage included.
Yeah.
They don't take any medications.
Yeah.
So they think, why pay for a premium for a drug plan? Mm-hmm. So they take the Advantage because it's included in the plan.
So there's a lot of ins and outs. So Advantage plans may be beneficial for certain people.
Mm-hmm. For some.
And for other people, maybe not so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's really going to be unknown depending on what happens to you.
Yes.
But you need the insurance is really for disaster, in my opinion. I've always said that. You know, it's just interesting why when you get on Medicare and these the drug plans, because that's what's expensive with medicine, really, mm-hmm. for a lot of folks, is the drug plan. Mm-hmm. So say they have rheumatoid arthritis and they've been on Humira. All of a sudden they're on Medicare and it's not covered anymore.
So, and that's, there's a lot of things that aren't covered under Medicare once you turn 65 or whatever. There are things that if you're on a name brand medication, a lot of times, sometimes you can get on a generic medication if your doctor thinks that's okay, mm-hmm. To avoid donut holes and extra yep. cost and things like that. But yeah, the Medicare thing, if Medicare doesn't cover it, then I mean, there's things out there called GoodRx where you can do, you know,
incredible.
Things like that. There's all kinds of other ways that you can try to help the cost of really high dollar medications.
And what I find that with a lot of generic medications, you're better off paying cash for it with GoodRx or Mark Cuban's plan. And I think there's some more coming out, but then you would be using your insurance.
And sometimes that's the case. Other times, not so much, but sometimes it's, and you have to be ready to do the research and kind of know. That's, again, that's why it's important to have somebody to sit down and kind of go over all the things with you.
And you mentioned the donut hole, the mm-hmm. dreaded donut hole. Explain that a little bit.
So typically donut holes are, and it's called the coverage gap. That's, donut hole is just a term we use, but it's called the coverage gap.
I like donut hole. And you know, for some reason, I like that. But,
basically, once Medicare pays out X amount of dollars, I think this year it's $5,000. That's for the retail cost, not your copay, but the retail cost of the medication.
Well, you can meet that pretty quickly.
People who are on Ozempic or on medications that are $900, $1,000 a month, I mean, you're going to hit that in 5 months. Well, then when you hit that donut hole or coverage gap, once you're in that, then you're going to pay 25% of the cost of the medicine.
Of the retail
cost. Of the retail cost. So you might only be paying $42 copay for it right now.
Right.
Depending on the plan. You know, some mm-hmm. it's 42 for it. Just, you're going to pay a copay for it at that time. But if you end up in the donut hole, if it's Ozempic and it's $900 for the cost, mm-hmm. then 25% of that is what you would pay out of your pocket for if you're in the coverage gap.
So the donut hole is from $6,000 to what?
Okay, so once the company pays out $5,000, then from that point until the customer pays, I think it's $6,000 or $7,000 out, then it throws you into what they call catastrophic coverage, to where you either don't pay anything for the medicine or you pay very little for it.
So the hole is between $5,000 and $11,000 maybe?
Yeah, if you're doing it on that scale.
Is the donut hole the same for every drug plan, Part D?
Yes. So
no
if
matter
you
if
don't,
you're on an Advantage plan or not, you still have to comply with that?
That's correct. So whether you're on an Advantage plan with drug coverage or whether you're on a standalone drug plan, that you are subject to the donut hole unless you fall under the poverty level. So people who get extra help, who are on Medicaid or things mm-hmm. like that, they are not subject to that donut hole.
That is really interesting. Very good point with the donut hole. I'm glad you explained that. You explain stuff so well with the part A, B, C, D. You know, I wasn't sure what Plan C was, and it's all these supplements and Advantage plans. So Part C, important. Donut holes are important. Your medical condition's important. How much money you have on a monthly basis, mm-hmm. because, you know, once you retire, you're on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. You've got a plan. How long am I going to live? Mm-hmm. What lifestyle do I want? And hopefully you don't want to be so unhealthy to where you have to use all this money to pay for your health to get by. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your plan? It's
supposed to be the golden years.
What's your plan? Do you think people should just live real healthy until about 90, 95, and then just fall off the face of the earth?
My plan is I'm invincible till the Lord is done with me.
That's great. Me too. So not to worry so much.
No.
I do think worry causes a lot of health problems. Yeah. I was telling somebody yesterday in my office, I think stress is the biggest toxin that I see walk into my office. Mm-hmm. You know, and then maybe foods, but or lack of exercise, but certainly worry. So in one way, it's kind of good you reach 65 and you're on Medicare. Or you're disabled and you're on Medicare, mm-hmm. and at least you have some basic coverage, which mm-hmm. should give you some peace of mind. But there's a lot more to it.
There is.
I mean, it just you could still go bankrupt real easily after mm-hmm. age 65 if you don't know what you're doing.
That's correct.
So cost of medicines, hospitalizations, if you can stay out of the hospital, you're better off doing mm-hmm. it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something interesting. I just bought some helicopter insurance last week.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. And it's only $75 a year for my family.
Wow. That's pretty good.
So I guess you probably not going to have to use it, but you should look into that because if you are in an accident and a helicopter picks you up, you're going to get a bill for that. You know, your Medicare is not going to pay for that. It may pay a little bit, but not the whole thing. Have you run into that helicopter expense with your Medicare?
I have not. I haven't run into someone having to be life-flighted or helicoptered out somewhere that there wasn't some kind of some coverage for that.
I need to print this and spread it around because I think it's $75 for a year for my family. It also covers fixed-wing insurance in case you need to, they don't have the correct treatment over here and you need to be transported down to Mayo Clinic or one of those, and then it surely helps out a lot. Well, the EMS guys told me that.
Oh, that's cool.
So helicopter and fixed wing insurance is very inexpensive, so you might think about that. But anyway, any other words of wisdom as far as Medicare goes and all these plans? You do such a good job. Anybody asks me, I just give them your card and they go to you because I know you're going to tell them the right thing because you're not trying to sell something really, a particular plan. You're independent,
right?
And you're doing it for the right reasons. I know you well enough to know that, and that's appreciated.
Mm-hmm. So I would tell people when you get ready to turn 65, you want if you're not going to navigate this on your own, get a hold of someone who is an independent broker, someone who can write all the most of the different plans in the area that can sit down with you and go through all of the things. That way it will help you decipher whether you want to do supplemental side or you want to do Advantage Plan side.
Very good advice. Renee Thompson, thank you so much for coming. We'll do it again. Let's do this yearly.
Let's do it.
Things change a little bit, mm-hmm. and they need to keep up with this because most of my patients are starting to think about this or they're already on it like me. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I hope this helps you. Renee, thank you so much. You're going to be back yearly, hopefully, mm-hmm. and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.